Hello, 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 my medical sales professional friends. Hope you've been doing great stuff in the last week. I'm thrilled that you are here again. And if you are listening to the Medical Sales Guru podcast for the first time, welcome. I am absolutely thrilled that you've decided to join us. This week, I want to talk to you about something that's so important to your medical career, your medical sales career, and if you're a doctor, your medical career. We do have some doctors who listen to the show, and that is trust. So you work in the healthcare world. Let me ask you a question. Is trust important? Well, hell yeah, trust is important. Are you going to go to a doctor that you don't trust? Chances are, when you first get in front of a healthcare professional, you may not know enough about this person to decide whether to trust them or not. But I'll tell you this, unless there's something that's really wrong with you, if you don't trust this person, you are not going to let them take care of you as a patient. Healthcare providers have a big job, and because of it, they have to have absolute faith, absolute trust in the people who work with them. They got to trust you to do your job so they could do their job. Now, this is intuitive. I mean, everyone knows that in business, no one is going to buy from someone who they don't trust. It's common sense, right? But yet, really, what creates trust? How do you build trust in the healthcare sales environment? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, anytime I think of trust, I think of Jack Bauer. Do you know who Jack Bauer is? Well, you do if you are a fan of the TV show 24. I joined the show late. I think I started watching it in the fourth or fifth season, but as soon as I did, I was hooked. I went back and watched the first four seasons that I hadn't seen, and then I watched the rest of the seasons as they came on the air. It's just a wonderful show. Jack Bauer was a very interesting character. He was this superhero type of a person. But one thing he would do, anytime he asked someone to do something for him, and he always had to ask people to do these crazy things, you know, to get him information or to get a view from a satellite as to what was happening. And they didn't want to do it. And he'd say, "You got to trust me on this. Trust me." Those were Jack Bauer's words. Trust me. And I always think about that because as a medical sales professional, when you're getting in front of a healthcare provider and you're asking them to think differently about the products and services they use, what you're really asking them to do is to trust you. And here's the question that you have to ask yourself. Why should they trust you? If they don't know you, should they just give you the benefit of the doubt? Why? I mean, they have choices. They have products they're using now. And if they're using a product now, they probably trust that product. They probably trust the sales representative who's selling that product, who stands behind that product. So you're coming along maybe as a newcomer, maybe as someone who's sold to them for a period of time, and you're asking them to think about something different. That requires trust. In fact, everything that takes place between you and your customers involves trust. Doesn't that make sense? Think about this, for example. The biggest challenge that people always tell me about when I'm doing a seminar or speaking at a national sales meeting is they say, "Mace, I've been doing this for a long time. My biggest challenge is getting in front of the customer. How do I get past the gatekeeper?" Getting past the gatekeeper. What kind of an issue is it? It's a trust issue. So you might be thinking, well, where does trust come in? I haven't even talked about the product yet. Well, yes, but you see, the gatekeeper has to trust that the value proposition you're bringing to the practice or to the hospital is going to warrant taking some of the decision maker's time, her boss, the doctor, the department head. It's a trust issue. So if you're not getting time with the customers that you're trying to get in front of, it's not because they're an idiot. It's not because they're too busy. It's because they don't trust that the product you want them to look at will be better than what they have. They don't trust that you will bring a higher level of service to their practice or to their office. They don't trust your company. Maybe they had a bad experience with your company previously, or they heard some bad publicity about your company. There's always going to be the element of trust that needs to be addressed. So how do you create trust in the healthcare sales environment. I'm just going to go through some of the things that I believe really impacted and share some experiences that I had. And hopefully this will resonate with you, because if your customers don't trust you, find a different job. In fact, I believe that almost any job you will do requires a level of trust. But I could tell you, in healthcare, if the people don't trust you, you're dead in the water. It's over. So here's the first thing. Number one, always do what you say you're going to do. You may have heard that before. In fact, you might try to blow it off by saying, hey, Mace, come on. I mean, everybody knows this. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Well, guess what? Not every sales rep does what he or she says they're going to do. In fact, here's something I discovered. A lot of them don't. More than you would think. When I was getting ready to leave my territory after being in it for 20 years in different capacities, and I was going around saying goodbye to my customers, a lot of them said to me, and this is no exaggeration, this is the God's honest truth. Many of them say, gosh, you know, Mace, I hate to see you go. You are really the best rep, or one of the best reps I've ever worked with in my entire career. And knowing that I was going into consulting and sales training and speaking, I asked the question. I said, what made me one of the best reps in your mind? And they all said the same thing. And it blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. They all said, you always did what you said you were going to do. And I was surprised. I asked the question. I said, doesn't every sales rep do that? I mean, is that so unusual? And they said, Mace, not everybody does what they say they're going to do. So when you make a commitment, and making a commitment to a customer, by the way, is as easy as saying yes. If a customer says, hey, will you find out this information and get back to me? And you say yes, that's a commitment. Anytime you answer in an affirmative way saying that you will do something, it's a commitment. So treat it like a commitment. Make sure you don't forget. In fact, do whatever you have to do to remember. But if you say you're going to get back to somebody, think of it in terms of this. You always need to have a time deadline when you make a commitment. If you just leave it sitting out there, just hanging out there, thinking that you'll do it when you have time or when you feel like doing it, that's a wish. It might even be good intentions, but it really isn't a commitment. What will really resonate with your customers is when you show a level of commitment that indicates you mean business. So if a customer asks you to get back to them on something, give them a date and time. If today is Monday, for example, and the customer says, get back to me on that, say, will it be okay if I get back to you this Thursday? I may not have an answer, but either way, I'll get back to you and let you know what I found out. That will show them that you're a take charge kind of person and they can count on you. Now, come hell or high water on Thursday, whether you have an answer for them or not, you get in touch and let them know you're working on it, and then you move back the commitment to the next possible realistic date. But whatever the commitment is, do what you say you're going to do. Now, that goes to the second thing I want to talk to you about in terms of building trust. And I think you could see, if you make a commitment to someone and you don't follow up on it, they're not going to trust you. That's just the way it works. You're the same way. So do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the next thing is, a lot of sales reps make promises that they just can't keep. And they'll make the promise because they want the customer to buy from them, or they are trying to get the customer off of their backs if it's a service situation. You got to be careful when you make promises, because most reps overpromise. In other words, let's say a customer says, you know, I need that as soon as possible. I need it by next Wednesday. Well, if you say it'll be here by Tuesday, it damn well better be there by Tuesday. Now, here's the thing. A lot of reps know it's not going to be there by Tuesday. In fact, they say, well, they'll get it there by Wednesday morning. So the intentions are good, but if they promised it to Wednesday, they're afraid that the customer might go and buy from somebody else. So they tell them it'll be there on Tuesday. And then when it doesn't show up on Tuesday, you could always go back and say, well, you know, I checked and it'll be here tomorrow for sure. No problem. But what you did is, when you said it would be there on Tuesday and it doesn't show up until Wednesday, you overpromised. It's not enough just to do what you say you're going to do. You have to meet or exceed the customer's expectations every time. So if you, for example, going back to the example I've been using, say, you know that it will be there no sooner than Wednesday. Okay, here's what you could say. Barbara, the product will absolutely be here Wednesday. Will that meet your needs? Now, it might or it might not. But the thing is, better to be honest and tell the truth. If she buys from someone else, better to have her buy from someone else than for you to overpromise and disappoint the customer. Are you with me on this? Now, what's even better than giving an accurate promise is to underpromise. Underpromise. In other words, let's say that a different situation, similar, but a customer wants a product on, has to have it by Friday. Now, you know you could get it there by Wednesday. But what if there is a problem with Federal Express or UPS, or there's a snowstorm out of the shipping facility? Give yourself a little wiggle room. You know it'll be there on Wednesday. You say, Barbara, I promise you it will be here by Thursday at the latest. So you know that it's going to be there on Wednesday. You just under-promised. Because when you show up with it on Wednesday, or when the product shows up on Wednesday, is she going to say, you know, wait a second, Bob, you said this would be here on Thursday. It's here a day early. That's not good enough. No one is ever going to complain because a product showed up too soon that they need for a case or to treat a patient. In fact, they'll be delighted. So when you underpromise and overdeliver, you're going to have happy customers. Get in the habit of doing that. But at the very least, be very, very accurate in terms of expectations for the customer. It's the same thing with how your product is going to perform. You know, underpromise how it's going to perform. Let the product then overdeliver and delight the customer. This is an amazing way to sell. What you want to do is you always want to put the customer's needs and the patient's needs above the sale. Now, I get it. Your job is to make the sale. You're a sales professional. That's how you get paid. That's what you do. But if you just sell a product that isn't ideal for the customer and isn't ideal for the patient, they're not going to trust you once they find out. And this isn't good for your career. Now, if you're honest sometimes, will you lose the sale? Yeah, you bet. But it could really work in your favor in the long term. Let me give you an example. There was a surgeon I called on, and for years I would have done anything to have any of his business, because just by having some of his business, it would have given me the opportunity to spend some time with him in the operating room in his office. Would have been great. He called me one day. He was in a tight spot. He needed help with one of my company's products that another surgeon put in another state. And I did a lot of research. I got him all the tools he needed to revise this particular case, and he was very, very appreciative. And being a really nice guy that he truly was, very committed to the products he was using, but he was looking for an ancillary product. In this case, it was actually a bone cement mixing system. And he said, hey, Mace, you have a cement mixing system? I'd like to evaluate it. I'll use yours. If it's good, if I like it, I'll have the hospital get it. So he was trying to pay me back. He was trying to do something appreciative for me. Now, here's the thing. The particular cement mixing system I had at this time, it was crap. I mean, it was awful. It was embarrassing. And I knew that if I brought it in, would it have done the job? Actually, I wasn't that sure. It might not have. It really might not have. It was that bad. But I was very, very honest with him. I said, you know, Doc, thank you very much. But here's the truth. If I bring it in, you're not going to like it because it doesn't work as well as what you're using now. And he says, Mace, are you serious? I'm trying to give you business. He said, come on. I said, I know, doctor, I appreciate it. I just want you to know that I will always tell you the truth. And if something isn't better than what you're using, if it doesn't have an advantage, if there's not some benefit to you or to the patient, I won't even show it to you. Well, guess what? From that point forward, he evaluated everything I brought to him. If I showed up at his office, he was in the middle of seeing patients, he would stop to take a look at what I had. He might not give me all the time I wanted at that moment, but he would look at it and say, you know, this looks pretty good. why don't you come back next Tuesday at 3 o'clock? I'll spend a half hour with you and you could talk to me about it. Because why? Because he trusted me. I put his needs and his patient's needs first. That's what it's all about, folks. Do whatever you have to do to get your customer's trust, and don't ever betray that trust. Now, another thing which is commonly done by medical sales reps, which shows an abuse of trust, is when they don't speak well of others. In other words, they'll be talking to one doctor and they will speak poorly of another doctor. You see, there's this misperception that a customer's colleague, another doctor, is actually a competitor. And if you badmouth them, for example, if you badmouth this competitor or this colleague, what you're saying is, you're a much better surgeon than he is. You do better work. I mean, this guy couldn't cut his way out of a paper bag. It might seem like it's patronizing, and it is, but it also might seem like you're boosting up that doctor's ego. What you're really doing is giving them false platitudes. But what's even worse is that what you're saying is you can't be trusted to speak well of all of the customers that you call on. And your customers, if they hear you do this, they're going to be thinking, I wonder what she says about me when she's talking to other customers. It makes sense, doesn't it? So if you don't speak well of everyone when you're speaking to a customer, if everyone you speak about, if you're not speaking about them in a positive way, they're not going to trust you to speak well about them. And if that's the way they feel, they may choose not to do business with you. Trust makes all the difference in the world. And the last thing I'm going to talk about on this podcast, and we could go on about lots of other things, and other things may pop into your mind. And if they do, please make a comment here under the podcast. Just click on comments and tell me what you think is important in terms of trust. That's if you're listening on the website. If you're listening on iTunes, you could go to medicalsalesguru.com and leave a comment directly. But here's the last thing. Always tell the truth. Always. Again, seems intuitive, like, Mace, why wouldn't I tell the truth? Well, you know, there's so many reasons why medical sales reps don't tell the truth. And the biggest reason, they're afraid of either angering a customer or losing a sale or losing a customer. So they'll tell a little white lie. They'll like I said before, if a product doesn't show up when it was supposed to, they'll make up an excuse to blame it on someone else. They'll say, well, you know, FedEx screwed up. I mean, it didn't get on the truck, or someone in the main office placed the order wrong. Here's something that customers really like about sales reps. They like when you own the entire situation. They like when you don't try to pass blame onto someone else, another entity. In fact, someone they don't even know. They don't know the guy in the warehouse you're trying to blame. All they know is that you're their rep. You're the person they trust, and if you disappoint them, you're going to be betraying that trust. It's that simple. So always tell the truth. Wherever the mistake happened, if you forgot, just say, you know, I was very busy. I overlooked it. I'm so sorry. Here's what I'm going to do to make sure it never happens again. I don't care what the truth is. When you lie in healthcare, what you're doing is not only are you risking losing a customer or a customer losing trust in you, you're risking something bad happening to a patient because the customer doesn't have, the healthcare provider doesn't have the right information. That's horrible. There's nothing worse than that. That's worse than a betrayal of trust. That's you betraying what you've really sworn to do. And that's to do an ethical job in the healthcare world. If you don't believe that you're here to uphold the highest ethical standards when you're selling medical devices, medical products, pharmaceuticals, anything in healthcare, then get out of the industry. You have to tell the truth. Now, you've heard it said that medical sales is a relationship business. Well, that's true. But what that really means is that medical sales is really a trust business. Yes, someone has to know you to be able to trust you, but knowing you or liking you isn't enough. If someone doesn't trust you, you're toast. And speaking of trust, I hope I'm earning your trust by providing information that will help you in your medical sales career. And if you'd like to take that to a deeper level, I'd like to tell you about Medical Sales Academy. Medical Sales Academy is my online portal and membership site where I provide strategies, techniques, tactics, and skills that are used by the top 1% in medical sales. This is a 24/7, 365-day, on-demand learning and support site for medical sales professionals. Do me a favor, do yourself a favor, check it out. It might be for you, it might not, but if it is, it could absolutely accelerate your medical sales career and shorten your learning curve tremendously. You can check it out by going to medicalsalesacademy.com. That's medicalsalesacademy.com. If you have any questions after reviewing the information there, just send me an email, mace@medicalsalestraining.com. I'll answer your questions. I'll do what I can to help you get enrolled when enrollment is open. Thank you again for visiting us here on the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, for visiting me. I hope this has been beneficial. Don't forget that whatever you do in your medical sales career, the patient always comes first. I look forward to having you visit again next week when I'll be talking about another topic of interest and importance in medical sales. Until then, go out and do something good. Make a difference. My name is Mace Haroff, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.